Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How do you do? Good afternoon, all. It's now 6:07, and thanks for being a part of the Bobby Mack Show for this Friday afternoon. Much appreciate your presence. Keep them inexpensive, if you would, please, and don't tell the boss. This is 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and also 106.3WORD.com. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Let's see here, texters today here. If the IRS is going to tell me what my retirement age is after stealing my money all my life and redistributing it, and if they force me to start taking my RMDs or the rest of my savings so they can tax it too, then that should be the age to retire. Well, of course, they don't tell you when you have to retire. Internal Revenue doesn't. They can say things about your taxes, but that's about it. Texter says, I believe we should hold congressional members to their oaths to uphold the Constitution. That would remove at least half of the current Democrats from office. Well, I suspect it would. And so anyway, to the actual subject at hand here. This isn't the first time that Biden's eye has bled, by the way. In 2013, when he was vice president, Twitter was all abuzz about his eye as he sat behind President Obama during the State of the Union address. His eye appeared bloody after he reportedly scratched it on his contact lenses, and he was sporting glasses at the time. Now, this time, of course, it was different. It happened spontaneously in plain view. The Biden campaign would only talk about what it said was the cause, was an off-the-record basis, raising the question about why it did not want to be connected to a simple explanation that would have cleared up the issue. Biden, by the way, has not really disclosed his medical history for the last 11 years. And it was in 08 the doctor said he had an irregular heartbeat. He's also been reported that he battles asthma and allergies, and like President Trump takes a prescription drug to lower his cholesterol, Biden has also taken medication for an enlarged prostate and had his gallbladder removed in 2003. Such are the pickings and pokings at one's privacy when they run for a public office. Now, if Biden were on blood thinners, it wouldn't be on account of his aneurysms. He had an aneurysm that burst more than 30 years ago. It caused him to undergo emergency surgery. Months later, surgeons clipped a second aneurysm before it burst. So for what it's worth, the verbal blunders, of course, have drawn considerable headlines. He said that poor kids are just as bright as white kids, claimed he was vice president in 2018 during the Parkland massacre, mixed up Iowa and Vermont, referred to Margaret Thatcher, who left office in 1990 and died in 2013 as the British prime minister instead of Theresa May. The president, of course, in his usual dulcet tones, has accused Biden of not playing with a full deck. Biden has lashed back, and so in any event, I note our history on presidential age. And interestingly enough, and this is kind of odd, but it just so happened, if you go back to our first four presidents, they all were out of office at age 65. George Washington left office 65 years, 10 days of age. John Adams, after a single term, left office 65 years, 125 days of age. Thomas Jefferson left office 65 years, 325 days of age. and James Madison left office 65 years, 353 days of age. Then you get to James Monroe, and we had a president who left office at age 66 and 310 days. Then after that, you get down to Andrew Jackson, who was left office just shy of 70. He was just 13 days shy of 70 when he left office. Then you have to go over a century to get to Dwight Eisenhower, who actually did make it to age 70. So we have had presidents mostly in our 40s and 50s and 60s over those years. Ike made it to age 70, and then Ronald Reagan made it to almost 78. 77 years, 349 days, Reagan made it to. Then, of course, President Trump, who was elected at age 70, and he would be 78 if he serves out two terms in office. So then you get to, of course, the Democratic front runners, and they are. It reads like the PGA Seniors Tour, but every poll shows that there is a top three that could change once the voting starts. But right now, the top three are all getting on. If Elizabeth Warren, who was born in 1949, were elected to two full terms, she would leave office at age 79. No president's ever done that. If Biden were elected to two full terms, he would leave office at age 86. No president's ever done that. And Bernie Sanders, who is the Methuselah of the list, is currently 78. If elected to two full terms, he would leave office at age 88. And by this time, the actuarial tables were beginning to tell you that there are odds of whether or not you will even, on average, live that long. So it's a valid question. Jeff in the Taylor's calls in this afternoon. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jimbo. Thank you for the great show, as always.
Thank you.
Love it when you fill in. I just wanted to issue an apology over the air this afternoon to Representative from Atlanta, Hank Johnson, the one that thought if you put too many Marines on one side of Guam, that the island would tip over.
Okay.
It turns out that that Representative Johnson would be a candidate for the Democrats and anybody that's running. I have never seen such a collection of people who are just absolute fools with their thoughts, their views. It's just like they don't even know that they're in the United States with some of the views that they have. It's
yeah,
depressing,
but
really.
You look at the two people of the Democratic field who said, get away from this socialism. You're going to lose. Get away from socialism. Neither one has shown up at all. One of them, John Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado, he's already given up the race. He's running for the Senate from Colorado. Others, John Delaney from Maryland, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, Democrats seem to like the fools.
Well, it's I just hate to think what would happen to us as a nation if we elected these people that just are completely oblivious to what the country stands for. It's like none of them have ever had to do anything. I know old folks used to say when people act like that, we looks like we need another war where people can learn what it's like to have to fight and believe in something. And maybe that's it. None of them's ever had to work or a day in their lives or do anything, you know, as far as supporting your country or doing anything for your country.
Well, I know Elizabeth Warren has been either a professor or a senator all of her life. Bernie's been a politician just about all of his life. And Biden has been a politician all of his life. So you're onto something there, Jeff.
Well, I know Bernie never even had a job. Didn't he live in his mom's basement until he's 45 years old?
I'm not sure what age he was when he was elected mayor of Burlington, Vermont, but I do know that that none of them has held a private sector job, to my knowledge. But points well taken, Jeff. I'm with you. This is 106.3 WORD. The time is 6:15.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. 620 now at 106.3 WORD, to Friday. And delighted to hear from you over whatever you would like to talk about today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and 106.3WORD.com. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. I'll give you time to write that down, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Thank you for being a part of our gathering this afternoon, as we do appreciate it. And looking at the issue of age as a limitation, we've never had an upper limit on age in this country, simply because we just haven't tended to pick people who were of advanced age. Hasn't worked out that way. I guess you can define advanced ages in different ways. I personally would note that my own views on what is too old have tended to increase over time, quite frankly. I found that I've, my thoughts about what are too old of an age, those ages tend to be at least 5 years older than I am. So there's no doubt about the fact that all age limits are arbitrary. When you stop and think about it, I mean, we say you have to be 16 to get a driver's license. Really? Now, we have all known kids who, by virtue of their physical size and strength and coordination, today's power-assisted equipped cars would be no problem for them at age, say, 13. They may be excessively mature, very, very, very grown up. And it may well be that they could quite possibly, effectively, safely drive a car early on. Yeah. But of course, then how do you tell somebody else that they can't? Because we really can't measure maturity or wisdom or discretion or judgment. I mean, these are very amorphous terms, very subjective terms. You can't measure those. And since we all are pretty much of the agreement that no matter how mature or how level-headed you are, we really don't want kids who are five driving a car. We don't want kids who are five, let's say, drinking. We don't want kids who are five smoking. We don't want kids who are five voting. Although there is a move, of course, in some jurisdictions to lower the voting age below 18. There are places in this country where you can vote in local elections at 15 or 16. And you'll see more of that because, of course, the younger they are, the more likely they are to have been indoctrinated into the progressive/liberal/socialist point of view. But that fact notwithstanding, there is agreement that below a certain age, you just really shouldn't be doing certain things. The question is, what age? Well, again, it's back to old Mr. Spock and that Vulcan mind meld. You just can't measure these things. And so, since we all agree that we don't really want kids driving, let's say, at five, Well, what about 6? Well, not really, no. 7, not really, no. 8, 9, 10. Mostly no. There might be some exceptions, but mostly no. And how would you determine one from the other? Until you get up to about the age of 16, and at some point, our lawmakers reached a consensus. Okay, well, 16. All right, let's go with 16. And that's pretty much become the national standard. I think it's varied from state to state. I'm pretty sure that when I got my driver's license, as I recall, I was allowed to drive, I think, at 15 and a half with an adult in the front seat, as I recall. Pretty sure that's what it was. I know I got it the minute I could and got my driver's license, full-fledged driver's license, the day I turned 16, and then had occasion to drive by all my friends' houses. Since I was the second oldest kid in my class, I drove by and so dismissively noted, "Oh, hi, I see you've got your bicycle out." I was truly a snarky, snotty jerk, I really was, but hey, what are you going to do? Nothing much has changed there, has it? So we've always had these limits. We've said, you know, you can only be, say, 17 to join the military. Voting age, we used to say 21, then we lowered it to 18. Some jurisdictions for local elections lower it to 15 or 16. Drinking, it was, I guess it was 18 for a while, but it went up to 21 again under pressure from the feds primarily. So we've always had arbitrary limits on the young side. Not so much on the older side. But let's face it, just as the average person lacks a certain amount of maturity at a younger age, we also tend to lose a certain amount, on average, at an older age. On average. Now, we all know people, just as we all know people who would probably be safe driving at, say, age 13, we know other people, and probably a lot more of this last group, we know other people who wouldn't be safe driving at 43. They'll never be safe drivers, okay? There's just no way to screen them out, not by age. These are just doofuses, okay? They shouldn't be driving. But how do you determine that? I mean, legally. See, that's the question. How do you determine it legally? Because a lot of these restrictions, again, unless you use something as arbitrary as your age, you get into all these areas of judgment. Well, I don't know about Fred. You know, he doesn't seem very mature. No, Fred doesn't seem very mature. How are you going to take away his privilege to drive? He needs it to do his job. Well, Fred probably shouldn't be driving. No, he should not. But what basis do you have for taking it away? You're going to set up the Department of Maturity right next door to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you can go in and you will be tested for your maturity? No, I don't think so either. So we have these age limits on the lower end. But we've never really done that much on the upper end. For one thing, we used to die off a lot. I mean, let's face it, this notion of people living into their 80s, that's relatively new. Back when I was a kid, yeah, back in my day, you know, people died off earlier. There was always some person, you know, oh, yeah, well, Uncle Harry lived to be 92. Yeah, but Uncle Harry was largely the exception. The average age has been going up and up and up. And, in fact, we have not been dying of things to the point where, increasingly, people are out there functioning on a day-to-day basis who have begun to lose it. Oh, they're still alive. They're still breathing. But they aren't quite as quick as they were. Their physical reflexes certainly are not as quick. In many cases, their minds are not as quick. Maybe they make gaffes on the campaign trail. Sorry. So it's a worthwhile discussion, and it's worthwhile principally because we're going to have it, because increasingly we're going to see reasons why we should have it. Not that we necessarily should incorporate an upper limit for this kind of federal service, but at the very least we should talk about it. Because for the first time, and this is really a side effect of our modern medicine, we're living long enough to become a doofus, okay? And that's a good sign in that we're living longer, and in many cases living longer meaningful lives. We're not just living long in a wheelchair or a walker. Many of us are living longer. I mean, we've all known grandmothers who go out rollerblading and stuff like this. But the question comes up, and it's a worthwhile question. And I, for one, have no problem with the notion of considering it an upper age limit for service for president, which we, by the way, have no right to be president. That's a privilege. Service to be in the Congress, on the Supreme Court or any other court, for that matter, at the state level. I mean, no one is suggesting that if such limits apply at the federal level, that they shouldn't be at least considered for the state level. And how old is too old? Oh, there's where we get into the crunch time, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Anyway, Jim Bohannon here, and of course I would remind you of one thing, that I'm just getting older as this show progresses. Jim Bohannon at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And we'll continue with more, and I've got about half an hour for this week's filling in of the Bob McLean Show. We'll take a quick break and be back at 6:29.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Afternoon all. 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And also 1063WORD.com. That's the way you reach us. We're working on a way to do that intravenously, but we haven't quite got it figured out yet. But you should be able to shoot up 1063WORD. I think that's only right, fitting, and fair. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. We have been talking a bit about the notion of mandatory retirements. And Texter says, if I recall correctly, the South Carolina Supreme Court has a mandatory retirement age of 72. Certainly state trial judges and state appellate judges in South Carolina have a mandatory retirement age of 72. Most states have a mandatory retirement age. It's in the 70s as a general rule. 32 states and the District of Columbia require judges to retire at ages from 70 to 90, the average being 72. Vermont is the only state which allows a judge to remain on the bench until age 90. So there are upper age limits in the case of judges. I don't think you will see any case where let's see here. There's a mandatory retirement age of 72 for state trial judges and state appellate judges in South Carolina. Apparently no mandatory retirement age for the Supreme Court that I can tell here. And I suppose the reason we do this, we have tended, I think, over the years not to limit the choices made to the public. But judges, except some judges are elected, of course, but especially judges who are appointed, I think tend to be limited because that is the choice of, in most cases, a governor. And so you have those limits. In terms of elected officials, governors, state legislators, stuff like that, and of course, obviously, federal elected officials, House, Senate, presidency, we've not tended to put in limits. Now, of course, we have put in some limits. You have to be a minimum age. You have to be a U.S. citizen, resident. In fact, in the case of the president, you have to be a natural-born citizen, have to have been a resident of the United States for a certain number of years, this sort of thing. And, of course, we have term limits. So it's not as though we take the notion that what the public wants is what they get to have in every single case. There are some areas in which we have term limits. A lot of states have term limits, although the notion of federal congressional term limits was tossed out by a judge, and that has to be a constitutional amendment. But, of course, we got one for the presidency. We got a constitutional amendment after Franklin Roosevelt served his three-plus terms. And ironically, of course, the first two presidents who could have served a third term, Eisenhower and Reagan, were both popular enough. They were both Republicans, but of course Republicans were desperate not to have another Franklin Roosevelt come into office. So we do have some limits out there, and it's not unheard of to think of that, especially, of course, because judges judge, I suppose. The very term judge, it says a lot. Judgment is what's issued by judges. So it's not as though we've not thought about this. Now, I would grant you that today's 72-year-old is probably a lot healthier, a lot more active than, let's say, yesterday's 72-year-old was. That's probably true. I remember my grandmothers. They were both rocking chair and knitting grandmothers. They did not rollerblade. Not that the rollerblading existed when they were getting into that age, but if it had, they would have still been in the rocking chair and they would have been knitting. So I understand the rationale behind it. But it's not as though we've never thought about putting age limits in. We have, in any number of cases. And in fact, the only state where judges may be on the bench beyond the age of 90 is Vermont. So we've done it before. Is it time to think about it now? I don't know. It's just worth thinking about, I suppose. Texter says, I almost wrecked the family car the very first day I got my license. Thinking back all the stupid things I did in a vehicle, I really must say I was too young to be driving. It's amazing I survived. Yeah, I've done some stupid things behind the wheel, and I would say that in general, probably most of my stupid things were done at a younger age. Although, again, it's only in general. You can't really say flat out that we are totally immature and incapable of handling a car at 15 years, 364 days of age, but one day later, boom, the model of maturity. No, that's not how it works. Always, these arbitrary age limits are a best estimate because we have to impose some kind of limit, and we don't have a way of precisely measuring it to every individual. We have to go with one size fits all, and again, 16 has tended to be the age that we accept for driving, 17 to join the military, 18 to vote, 21 to drink. They're not perfect. They're arbitrary. And like most things arbitrary, they are best estimates, best guesses we can put together. Let's see here. Another text says the South Carolina Supreme Court has an age limit. Okay, what I was reading indicated that it applied to lower-level courts in South Carolina, but I'll take your word for it. Texter says, if the presidency is limited to 8 years max, so should every other elected official. Also, if you are an elected official, you should have to vacate your current position in order to campaign for a different one, because if you're campaigning, you're obviously not fulfilling your current position. All right, interesting thoughts. 8 years, of course, was an arbitrary period. We picked 8 years for the presidency, mainly because that had been the tradition until Franklin Roosevelt, and that they thought, well, that was a tradition. He served two terms, clearly could have served a third or probably a fifth or a twelfth until he died. He said 8 years was enough, and other presidents followed that. It's not as though, by the way, until Franklin Roosevelt, no president had followed that. Ulysses S. Grant tried to get a third term, but by that time, the two-term limit, just as a habit, was so ingrained in the American public that the Republicans refused to renominate him. That and the fact that he'd had a pretty corrupt administration also didn't help him any. But that's what we have tended to do with the eight-year term. It was 2 4-year terms, and the founders of the Constitution picked 4 years as a term, so that was an easy one for the founders. I should say the people who amended the Constitution back in the 50s to do 8 years like we had done for so long, and that's what they did. Nothing magic about that. Actually, of course, we did have one president who was term limited. I'm not sure if you know who that was. Oh, I'll tell you. Jefferson Davis, although he did not get to serve out his entire term of office, but Jefferson Davis was elected as to 1 6-year term. That's what the Confederacy had, 1 6-year term. And he, of course, did not get to to serve out his entire 6-year term because of some unpleasantries that developed at the time. It was in all the papers. I'm sure you've read about it. But anyway, it was pretty easy to pick the 8. Now, you've had varying schemes, of course, for what would be appropriate term limits for state legislative offices. Most states have some kind of limits there. There have been various schemes put forward for how much service you could have in the U.S. Congress, House, or Senate. But, again, it's not a new idea. We've thought about it before. All right, more to come. Jim Bohannon for Bob McLean, and time now 6:45.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Afternoon, folks. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Appreciate you very much joining our little get-together here. It's always a lot of fun. 10 minutes now before 7, and Mark Levin joins us right after the news at 7 o'clock tonight. Looking at some of the retirement ages for judges out there, yeah, South Carolina, the information I was reading was confusing, but the South Carolina Supreme Court retirement age, 72. States that go older than South Carolina, let's see here, D.C. goes to 74, Illinois and Indiana 75, Kansas 75. There are a few, most of them, a lot of them are at 70. So we let our judges get lower, I mean older than most do. Oregon 75, Texas 74, Utah 75, state of Washington 75, and Vermont 90. You ought to be an old judge, go to Vermont. Of course, it is quite true that members of our Supreme Court, many of them, they could be they could not be on the bench on any number of state courts out there. Most of them are getting right up there, but so we don't have a limit at the level of the Supreme Court. But most states would have such limits, and why this came into effect, I don't know. I guess the issue just didn't come up when the Founding Fathers were hashing this all out. Texter here says, talk about young people being physically able to drive. Buddy of mine would wait till his parents left for work, then he would take his dad's motorcycle and drive it to the next town where he attended school. We thought it was the neatest thing to see him riding up on a motorcycle. Not bad for 7. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, again, he lived, I guess. That seemed to be the end of the story. Apparently he lived, so good for him. I'm glad that he did. There are no magic ways to determine what is sufficiently mature. You just can't do that. But as I say, if you see more people engaging in campaign practices that raise questions, you're going to see more questions like this raised. And by the way, campaigning is a pretty strenuous activity. I have covered candidates and just following them around. You may have, for example, a member of Congress who's 80-something. I'll be willing to bet you could not follow that person around for a week. They have an incredible schedule. Now, granted, it may not always be what you would call work. I mean, you have a lot of things that you have to do. We tend to think, of course, of members of Congress. You see them on the House or Senate floor, on C-SPAN. You see them out there in various committee meetings. But, of course, you've got not only the committees, you've got the subcommittees. You've got constituent meetings. People, they show up in the office, and they got a complaint. And you are hard-pressed to be a member of Congress who can tell them, no, I can't see you. So you make room for the constituents. And they may have ridiculous complaints. But then again, maybe not. And, of course, if they showed all the way up at your office, the odds are they're going to show up at the voting booth. And so you make time for them. Then there's fundraising. And goodness knows that takes up so much time of members of Congress. And you may say, well, they shouldn't be out fundraising. Well, then how are you going to pay for the campaigns? Public financing? Oh, well, that's another issue, isn't it? Yes, it is. We have steered pretty much clear of public financing, and so as a result, in an era of very expensive media, people have to find a way to get their message out. That requires money. That is why so many members of Congress, I think, cross over to the dark side, quite frankly. Most members of Congress are elected because they have a message they want to put forward. It could be a conservative message, could be a liberal message, but they tend to have a message, and they believe in it deeply. And they get to Congress, and they discover newcomers can't get diddly done. But they hang in there, and they gain seniority, and they eventually they know that one more term, and I will be able to actually get something that I had promised my constituents I would do. I'll be on a chair of a subcommittee, and I'll be able to actually do this. And they start saying, because all the things I want to do are so important, they start saying, well, if I can get elected to one more term, by golly, just one more term. They have crossed over to the dark side when they start equating the welfare of the republic to their reelection. Just a few little things you want to keep in mind there, folks. All right. We'll talk about that and a few more things as time allows. But right now, time allows us only to say that it's been a real pleasure and a real privilege to have had a chance to sit in for Bob this week. He returns Monday. And in the meantime, I thank you so very much for letting me be a part of your life here at 106.3 WORD. Time now, 5 minutes before 7.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.